Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs,
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman vs. MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Yes, 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 yes. Sports City Chefs in the building. What's up, Sports City family? We're here. The Callers Cookout. We're good. Good. Villain versus Timers. We're good. Always wins. Calling number 929-477-2759. You could be anywhere in the world, but you're rocking with the Chefs. We're here with you for the next 58 plus minutes or so, talking all things sports. I don't do this alone. Every good hero needs a villain. Every good villain needs a hero. I got the best hero in the world. TP Timeless in the building. TP Timeless, the head honcho. What's going on, my big brother?
I just took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped outside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. Yo, you okay? You all right? Because you stuttering, groggy, everything. You okay?
So today is a crazy day, Timeless. So I had my son had a game. Came down to the last second, the last play of the game, fourth and one from the 1 yard line. They fumbled the snap. So in flag football, when you fumble the snap, it's a dead ball. So that was a loss of possession. They ended the game. So they lost by 4 points. They drove all the way down the field and had like, I think, six cracks to get in the end zone. So they lost, right? And I come home. Watching the Yankee game, I got to get ready for the show. And I'm literally doing a live draft right now on the clock, next pick, live draft, TP. So it's a crazy evening, nevertheless. But how are you, man?
I'm doing all right, man. Jeez, man. You up here. I got to get you to talk right, man. I got to proper these people up. Don't worry, y'all. Supposedly, I got y'all, man. I came out that blazer for a reason, man. I got to do what I got to do, man. I got to save the city. You know, but I'm on top of the world right now, man. This is NFL Christmas Eve, man. It's about to kick off tomorrow at least. Well, at least I get to say like the pre-Eve because like the real Eve is going to be Saturday night. But the season kicks off tomorrow, and it's an epic game. I really can't decide who's going to win the game, so that's something to think about, man. And you know, other than that, man, I'm pretty pissed off on how things going on in the Bronx already. But I'm not even like buying into what's going on in the Bronx right now because I really feel like they are setting them up to do that to us. Every time we go into a game against the Yankees in a series, they rest the good players and they're resting them again. So it's like, what are you proving that we're going to lose to them? Like so Kepler's sitting out, but you keep bringing him in to pinch hit, like. He's one of our better hitters. Like, why do you have him out? Like, just tell me. Just tell me what you're trying to do. Like, are you telling me we're going to lose to him? Like, this is what it is? And then Kepler gets up yesterday with a man on or two men on or something, and he strikes out in the ninth inning. His first at-bat is like, why bring him in? Like, you're already shattering this guy's confidence that he can't play against the Yankees. Like, I don't get it. So – I literally are looking at, like, Kepler, like, he's going to end up walking, like, or not even walking. They're going to send him packing. That's where I feel like they look at him, and he's one of my favorite players, if not one of my favorite players on the Twins, like, for real. Like Buxton just started coming on this year. Like, I like Buxton now because Buxton actually was healthy somewhat through the year, But Kepler's been there, had a good eye for the ball, but it was like this year he just couldn't find the ball. He had a 36 home run season. He's at 9. Like, y'all, they shattered him. And Sano's going to be gone too, because Sano can't stay healthy. And he's a strikeout king now. And I feel bad because Sano's going to end up being the same guy that Poppy was. David Ortiz was on the Twins and was striking out like crazy. He went to Boston and turned into a hero in Massachusetts. And it's like, watch Sano do the same thing, leave Minnesota and go somewhere and just start blasting balls everywhere. It's going to be the same thing Poppy did. So it's unfortunate that this is the way the Twins are working with the lineup, with quality all up and down the board, and just keep working the farm. We got good people in the farm. Get them up here. We'll play them, and the other guys can rest. It's like, no, play the dudes that you sitting up here paying. Like, I don't get that. Mm-hmm. And this is Rocco Baldelli. I think it's like a rule book or some manual that if you become the skipper, this is what you're supposed to do as a Twins manager. It's like, nah, hell no. Like, we can beat every other team in the major leagues except the Yankees. Like, you tell me how that looked. That don't even look right. Like how? Everybody else beating the Yankees? Shit, the Orioles beat them. I'm sorry for cursing. The Orioles beat them. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. That's terrible. How the Orioles could beat the Yankees, but we can't? No, because okay, so they did it. They did it the first game. They rested players. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. Then we lose. And it's like, okay, so now it rained. So then they got the doublehead. I'm like, now everybody should be rested. They should be all right. They still resting. It's like, what? Okay, you know you're fighting for first place in the Central. Like, you're within a game or two. Now you're losing with people rested. What, are you going to wait till Buxton come back and then make the run? Like, oh, man. Unbelievable.
Wow, crazy. So I'm on the clock, so... Yeah, I'm on the clock. So I just got Najee Harris. So I'm going to bring Sirius in. Sirius, what's going on? So I'm on the clock. I'm going to go receiver. I'm going to take Joe Mixon. So I got two running backs, Najee Harris and Joe Mixon. Sirius, what's going on, baby?
What's going on, fellas? How we doing, TP? Good to hear from you, man. Yo, man. Here's the thing. I was talking to another Twinkie fan the other day. He kind of said the same thing. You know, at the end of the day, man, I'm not too sure what the heck's going on with the organization. But I really can't say too much because the Yankees can lose to everybody but the Twins. Orioles smack them in the head. Astros smack them in the head. Athletics smack them in the head.
They can't even beat the Astros. It's like, wait, come on.
It is what it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they see ghosts.
I got a question for you, my guy. You know what I'm saying? You know, I heard you picked up Najee, but why did you come back in the second round and pick up Bro Mixon? Why didn't you go wide receiver there?
I wanted to, but I don't like CeeDee Lamb. He was the next highest rated receiver available. I got the 10 pick, so it's a loop around. So, I agree with you. I probably should have went receiver, but my thinking is I'll get two good backs, two good RB1s, and then I'll come back and I just got to get strong receivers, and then I'll probably subsidize that with like a top tight end or quarterback, depending on how it shakes out. The quarterbacks haven't gone off.
Let me ask you this question.
Yet.
Just kick the giggle, because, I mean, you know I'm kind of, you know, I live, eat, sleep, this joint. So pretty much you're going to go receiver, tight end, or tight end, receiver?
I'll probably have to go receiver, quarterback, tight end, or receiver, tight end, quarterback.
Wow. Okay.
I'm asking a question.
Because... Here's what I understand. Okay, why would you pick a quarterback in the sixth round, unless Josh Allen falls or Justin Herbert falls? Why would you waste that pick? You can pick a quarterback in the seventh, eighth round. Hell, I've seen drafts where you get Russell Wilson that late.
I got some guys on here that know what they're doing. And I got some that don't. So it depends. It's like, you know what I mean? It really depends on, I don't think any quarterbacks come off the board yet. Josh Allen's still available. Patrick Mahomes is still available. And Herbert's still available. So, I mean, I could get greedy and take the best quarterback
and fade a receiver to the next. I mean, I'm two picks away. Then I have 1, 2, 3, 4 picks, and then I have a quarterback. So I could probably go receiver, get best available, fade, and get a top three quarterback.
So why wasn't I invited to that draft? What's that about?
So this is for my job. So this is through my company. So there it's a private room. So I love to have you guys in there, but every time I offer to get the chefs in here for their own draft, everybody balks on it. So I mean, hold on, let me bring in.
Now, you wait till the last week to start trying to put it together. You wait till week.
No, every time I try to put it together, everybody fades on me. So I'm going to go. I'm dropping Terry McLaurin with my pick right now. So I'm going to fade the quarterback.
I would probably, if I were you, if no quarterbacks are going yet, unless Kelsey's still sitting there, I would probably go ahead and get two receivers and get a quality receiver with this next pick as well.
So my third pick, I got Terry McLaurin. He's best available. Tight ends are off.
Michael Pittman Jr. is off the board. Michael Pittman Jr. still there?
He got taken. He got taken.
Okay.
So best available right now is Jalen Waddle, Mike Williams, and Brandon Cooks. So I'm on the clock. I got Terry McLaurin. I could go
Brandon
receiver,
Cooks.
Tight
Brandon
ends.
Cooks.
Or
please go get Brandon Cooks. Go get Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
Trust me. Go get Brandon Cooks.
I'll fade the tight end.
He's a volume monster.
All right.
Fade the tight
okay.
end. And see, all right. Here's the thing. You get tight end late. Go get, like, Dalton Schultz. Dallas Goddard.
My steal has been
Philadelphia, Brate. But
no. My steal has been Cameron Brate. Cameron Brate from I think he's going to be a volume play. Cameron Brate from the Buccaneers.
Tampa Bay.
I like
Dallas Goddard better than him.
Okay.
If he's there.
We done morphed into a fantasy show. What's up?
I know.
Okay, what's up, fellas, man? Like.
What's up, Mike?
Thanks, big homie.
This is what it is. So, call number 929-47. I can't even get the phone number right. 929-477-2759. The chefs are in the building. TP Timeless, the head honcho, Mr. Harvey, Aaron Sirius, Simmons in the building. Listen, it's fun. This league kind of came up last minute. And we got some good players in. We got some newbies, so I'll hopefully take advantage. And they were arguing. They didn't even want to do PPR. I'm like, dude, I don't do a league without PPR. Like you can save the drama for your mama. I don't know where you get that from. So whatever, it's all good.
That's the number one reason why I can't join the barbershop league. I can't do it. That's the one reason why I won't do it, because they do standards over there.
Right.
It's PPR now, see?
It's PPR.
Y'all
okay.
ain't telling me that.
So don't spread lies to the people. I'm using the young. Please don't do that.
We had our draft last week. I think I had a good team. TP had a solid draft too. So we'll see how that shakes out. But real quick, Emmanuel Sanders announced his retirement at 35, so, good career for him. Hope the best in his next phase in his life. College football took center stage last week, Saturday, some great games. A little bit of news coming out that we talked about it. I feel like every time we do a show together, TP, the next day, stories hit. The next day, Donovan comes out, is traded from the Jazz, and then college football announces a 12-team playoff. So, 12-team playoff is on the way as soon as 2026. People are hopefully pushing to get that to 2024 as the soonest. I would love to see it next year. But TP Timeless, talk to me about college football finally expanding the playoff to 12 teams.
Bro.
I now know they listen to us. I don't care what nobody says no more. I've been biting myself far too long. They listen to us. The topic that we talked about last Wednesday, both of them, two different sports, happened when we was like, there's no way. I'm up here like, Utah ain't going to trade him because if they do, they might as well, you know, collapse the team, get rid of the Jazz. They did it that next day. And then we said, Chandler was in here himself and said, there's no way that they're going to expand that playoff the next day. Thursday, they say that they rule that they have a 12-team playoff in, like, years to come. It's like, y'all listening, and don't act like y'all not. So y'all can say y'all heard it here first, here in the kitchen with the crew, the gang, the chefs. Like, you know better. Like, so one thing, first thing first, with college football, I'm going to get very personal. So allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Tom. You know, so the crazy part is you let all of these years go by with talented university after talented university and saying, oh, we only got two for the national championship. And then as of recent years, oh, we're just going to get four for the playoff and see how that pans out. We're going to come up with a championship game. Now, all of a sudden, 4 years from now, you're coming up with a 12-team playoff? Like, you're going to – it's already thinning out now. It's already it's parity all over the board, so now it looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have those other teams that were sitting up there that was undefeated but ranked low that could have probably beat a team that was ranked higher because they was just living that diva lifestyle. It's taken away from the essence. You're better off going back to the way it was. Now you're going to do it when everybody's going to be like, well, back in my day, they should have did it then because. It's like, no, y'all waited till y'all was old as ever to be like, well, we ain't going to be here to see the end of it anyway. Like, that's corny. Like, I'm personal with this one. This is disgusting that not only college football and, how do I say it, the committee. Yeah, the committee doing this and putting it together for years to come. And now all the teams that's good now, what, is it going to be freshmen that's holding on to the legacy of 4 years from now? So, like, Alabama, Ohio State, who else did good last year? Michigan, and then it ain't going to be Cincinnati. But, like, all of them are going to carry on his legacy from their freshman year until 2026. It's like, come on. Like, that's ridiculous. The only one you may see there is Alabama, depending on how long Saban stick around. And Stroud is going to end up leaving Ohio State soon, so you don't know what the next plan of the quarterback behind him is going to look like. It's ridiculous that they did that. And the basketball situation with Donovan Mitchell is like, I don't get what Utah did. I don't even want to say is trying to do or they're doing. There's no trying in Utah. They gave up one of the better defensive players in the league, even though he doesn't have a good offensive guard. He doesn't have an offensive game at all, but he was their defense. And then you get rid of your superstar? Like, you get rid of Spider. Any quality behind him there, Mike Conley is probably the next leader. Mike Conley is leaving in a year if he doesn't leave this year. Like, Utah, I get it. I know the history of the state of Utah and how you heard of several players talk about it, but now watching them get rid of that culture out there, I could already see what they're trying to bring to Utah and hoping that works. I think they will be, and I'm going to be brutal, they'll be at the bottom of the Western Conference next year. They'll be there. They will be there. They got rid of their coach. They got rid of their best defensive player. Mm-hmm. They got rid of their megastar. Who's there? They got rid of Ingles. They got rid of they got rid of everybody. It feels like the movie. Yeah. I don't know if you ever seen a movie Professional when Leon was killing up. He's killing everybody. And Gary Oldman said, yo, bring the whole police force down here. He said, everyone. He said, everyone. And that's exactly what's happening right now. He got rid of everyone just like that, okay? So that's how that feels right now, man.
If you don't know that movie, please go watch that movie.
Leon was killing everybody up in there for that little girl. He said, yo, bring the whole police department down. He said, bring the whole police department down here for him. He listening to the music. He said, everyone. He said, everyone. Like, yo, what? He wasn't playing with him, boy. He wasn't playing.
Oh, my God. Yo, that's hysterical. That's hysterical. I just picked Tom Brady, so I passed on Dak.
I got Brady, too. You copycat. I got Brady, too. I had to get him.
I figured he's going to put up at least 5,000, so I can work with that. But, listen, it's been – listen, what I heard is Donovan wanted out.
quietly wanted out, and I think we all knew that. I think he wanted to go to the Knicks, but Cleveland's a better situation. Garland, Mobley, Allen, that's a young core that it's hard to put them in the top four, but I could easily put them in the top six, and they can get to that second round. You know, they're just getting young. They're young. And they're just getting more talented. So it was a good pickup for Cleveland, sneaky good. But for the college football, I mean, Sirius, I'll come to you. What's the ramifications of this? I mean, it's what we've all wanted for years. I feel like they could have done this before the season started. They could have done this at any time. Now all of a sudden, we've been asking for it. Now they want to do it, and then they're going to hold us hostage for 4 years. Like, get it done now. Like, what are we talking about? It's a money grab, obviously. They want to get their bowl money and all that and conference championship money. But seriously, talk to me about the ramifications of this move.
You know, honestly, for me, I think it's a couple of things. First and foremost, I think it's all about the dollar bill, y'all. And honestly, I think college football, I don't know if it was Chandler or one of the chefs says that it is legalized slave trade, you know, and that's before the NILs and stuff like that. And I think this is right in lockstep with that, because at the end of the day, you know what the consumer wants, you know what the consumer needs, and yet you continually hold us hostage, you know, and don't really divulge or keep it a buck the ramifications and the criteria that you're using to make said decisions. For example, we all know sitting here that if Alabama loses, they're not falling out of the top four. But if you want to take a look at what took place this past week, okay, and understand that obviously Alabama and Georgia, you know, did work. But how in the world did Michigan jump into the top four?
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? You know what I'm saying? So, if he's just starting now, I think that the way it's currently set up, they want that rematch. They want Alabama versus Georgia, you know, and the championship. And I don't foresee a path for any one of these teams losing outside of playing each other in the SEC championship game. So when it's all said and done, this is about money. This is all about money. Now, I don't know what is prohibiting this from jumping off next year. I mean, you announced it, you know, week one this season, so you have a whole rest of the season and whole off season to put it together and, you know, make it to where it's the 18th next year. As TP alluded to, I do feel bad for those other teams or those schools that had winning records and had a shot at potentially being involved in this type of tournament. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to really cry over spilled milk. I do believe that this is a step in the right direction. I just do not like and or appreciate the fact that they are trying to hold us hostage for longer than it needs to be.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you kind of touched on a point that I wanted to get to, Mike, and I want to bring you on this one too. It makes the top 10 very important to have a 12-team playoff. Like, being top 10 is now, it's not only a vanity thing, it's important to get into the playoff. Like, you don't want to be on that fringe 11-12 or 13-14 and miss the playoff. And now, you know, it's like you could be a top 6 team, not make the playoff. You know, that now that top 10 ranking almost means nothing. You know what I mean? So, and like Michigan, how does Ohio State drop from 2 to 3, and they beat a top 5 team? I don't get that. And Michigan beat nobody. Colorado State, who? So that makes no sense to me. I agree with you, Sirius. But Mike, I mean, what do you think about the ramifications of the expansion? Finally, the expansion of the college football playoff.
I think we're splitting hairs on the rankings 2, 3, 4. when you got to think about, like, the first playoff rankings do not come out really until late October, because they do – that's one thing they did right, was they don't just go by the polls, and they decided to wait long enough for several games to be played so you really have a chance to get a good look at these teams before you actually start ranking them with playoff ramifications, right? So that's the first fact. So at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if Ohio State or Georgia will rank two or three going into week two. What matters is what they do over the rest of the season. Now,
I disagree
being
with
said,
that, but I'll come back to you on that. No, you can take it right after Mike.
Well, the playoff rankings aren't based on these bowls. Once again, the whole thing that these polls are put out is to give us something to talk about. I mean, honestly, at this point in the season, because there's going to be enough decided on the field. Second of all, I agree. I wish some of this had happened well before. I think part of the reason that it's going to take a little bit of time, it should not, as long as it's supposed to, as long as they're saying it might. But part of the reason why it is going to take some time is because they did sign contracts and said we're doing this through this season or whatever. And so there's got to be some – now that they finally decided this is what was going to happen, they have they finally have to now either figure out what these early outs are going to be or how to get out of these existing contracts for this 14 playoff.
Right.
A couple other things.
Right.
They're going to factor these bowl games. The same way they factor them into the semifinals, these bowl games are probably start going to be factoring in when you get to the quarterfinal round, if not that round of 12. So they're going to factor some bowl games into these playoff games. And I think they're actually going to set it up where you have to be the jury's sort of still out on this, but I think they're going to say you have to be a conference champ to be one of those top four seeds. To at least add some relevance
I would hope
to those conference championships. And so that being said, the days of, say, Alabama and Georgia meeting for the national championship are going to be over because you're not going to be on the same side of the bracket. You're going to be on separate sides of the bracket. So, for example, if you one loss, you're going to be on the same side, actually. So if you have a one-loss SEC team, who barely lost in the championship game, and you got to have conference champs as a top. Well, then that team's going to slot in as the number five. So they would have to face the number one team in the semifinals. So I think you're going to it's going to make it a little harder for these teams to match up in the championship game. I think it still could happen depending on how brackets fall and whatnot. But I think that I would much rather us bicker about who got left out at 13, 14, then 4, 5, and 6, right, and leave one of the top five teams. Because when you go 4, it means that for sure one of the top five teams in the country is getting left out and able to contend for a championship. So I would much rather one of those teams be there. Quick story, though, the interesting thing is the SEC was pushing hard spring for expansion, and others – they're like, wait, some of the other power conferences and athletic directors are like, wait, if the SEC is doing this, why, something must be wrong with it. I don't know if we want to do this. But once the dominoes fell for UCLA and USC to join the Pac-10, or once they started talking about Big Ten, then they started sort of realizing, okay, there's no way we're going to be able to get around it now. We're going to have to do something. Otherwise, the SEC and Big Ten may end up with the top four spots in the playoffs most years, or at least three of the four. And so that's, I think that has a lot to do with why this is happening as well. That being said, I thought six, but I told Chandler last week, I said it's going to expand. Watch, when they meet Friday, there's going to be something said about it. I would have liked to have seen them maybe go six, because once you get the toothpaste out, you can't put it back. And then eventually expand. But I think at least if you go 12, it still means something to win a conference and be one of those top four, because you at least get a bye and you only have to play three games in order to win the championship. So I'm curious to see the formatting and how they end up putting it together. I'm hoping that this improves some of the out-of-conference scheduling, so a team isn't so leery about, okay, well, if we take a loss, even if we take two, if we take care of business in the rest of our game, got a chance to be there. You know what I mean? So Hopefully that'll help. But, you know, with these conferences going to 9 games as opposed to 8 across the board, it is going to be a little bit harder to schedule things out of conference.
But it's all money, though, in my mind, because the way I look at it is that, yeah, because the way I'm seeing it is because the Pac-10 and probably the Big Ten, not the Big Ten, the Big 12, didn't want it because they're still trying to secure cable deals, right? They're trying to keep that money because they're losing teams left and right. So the SEC and the Big Ten, they got their deal. They got their money, right? They get – each school gets, what, 10, 15 million just off their TV deal alone
More.
With ESPN and Fox or what have you? More than that, right? So the Pac-10 knows they need to get a seat at the table, even if it's a kiddie table. They got to get in, right, because they don't have money. So I think that's a part of it too, but I think you're spot on. Serious, go ahead and double click on what Mike said.
Well, here's the thing, man. At the end of the day, I see where Mike was going, but with all due respect, you know, I disagree with the fact that the positioning in week one doesn't necessarily play a factor, because if you actually pull up the schedules of all four teams, essentially Alabama's favored by double digits in every game but one. Georgia's favored by double digits in every game going down the stretch here. Ohio State is favored by double digits. So if these teams take care of business, which we all essentially expect for them to do, the top three will be solidified. Now, Ohio State does play Michigan. That's going to be a toss-up game. I do expect Ohio State to win that ball game based off of this talent. Now, if C.J. Stroud decides he wants to play like he's been playing the latter part of last year and the first game of this season, that may change, because I think that they won that game in spite of him. But ultimately, I do agree with what everybody's saying. This is a huge money grab, and I think the fact that they are ranked the way they are was done on purpose. I told my buddy, I was like, listen, the reason why Ohio State probably fell and Michigan came up the way it did was because Clemson struggled the way it did versus their opponent on Monday night. If Clemson blows them out, then this whole point is moot. You know what I'm saying? I still think that Ohio State would have failed because Georgia just beat the brakes off of Oregon. But at the end of the day, Ohio State did play a top five opponent, you know, and they played them pretty tough. So I get it, but you have to look the part. And no other teams that I'm foreseeing right now, quote unquote, look the part like Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State right now. And that's why I think they were slotted the way they were, regardless of week one scheduling or going out to November when the selection starts.
In the day, the class of the Pac-12 last few years, and they understand that Ohio State played high ranked, they played them at home. Georgia on a neutral site, but it might as well have been at home. But Georgia looked more, and you could say it has to do with the opponent, but Georgia looked than Ohio State in week one. But what I'm saying is about 2 and 3 not mattering is if you're arguing over 2 and 3, those two teams are going to play each other anyway in the first round of the playoffs. So I'm saying it doesn't really matter that much. Now, if you start talking about whether or not a team should be 3 or 4, or maybe they got pushed to the wrong side of the bucket, that's a completely different discussion. But as far as who's 2 and who's 3, I don't care, because 2 and 3 are going to play each other at the end of the day.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, those are the three teams that will make the playoff, in my mind. It's 3 plus 1. And I think that's a big reason why this playoff is coming, because it's like you get two SEC teams, you get a Big Ten team, and then who else can come to the dance? Notre Dame can't get in the dance typically because they're an independent. They don't have a conference championship. The ACC might get Clemson But typically, if Clemson was a little down like they were last year with a win or two, a loss or two, I mean, they don't get in. So it's like the Pac-10 can't get into the dance. The Big 12 has a hard time getting into the dance. It's either them, the Big 12, or the ACC. So it's like you had to expand. All these schools had to see, like, to get that championship money, to get that playoff money that all these other teams are getting, that Alabama gets every year, Georgia's been getting consistently, we got to expand. So that's it's money at the end of the day.
The only hope now for the Pac-12 is USC. And the Pac-12 to have a seat at the table. And what they have to hope is that USC wins impressive all the way out, that Notre Dame doesn't lose again until they play USC. USC beats them and has a resounding victory in the Pac-12 championship game. That is the only with Florida losing at Utah and with the way that Oregon just got beat, the only hope the Pac-12 has to be in the playoff is USC. And you reduced one team already after week one.
But see, at the end of the day, like, here's the thing, like, you want solid football. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. like you want to see at the table. You don't want to get to the table and throw up your mashed potatoes and your gravy because that's just not a good look. And at the end of the day, like, we looked at what took place last year with Cincinnati. They had no business being on that field. It was a bad
But you
look.
Couldn't keep them out.
So,
but you couldn't keep them out. Right? They were undefeated.
And that's my point. Like, we have to be able to kind of legislate this to the point where I like the 12 because, yes, Cincinnati, a team like Cincinnati will get in, but they'll probably get weeded out before they get to, Championship Sunday or Championship Saturday or Championship Weekend, whatever the hell it is, whatever the hell it's called. Because that was just depressing to watch. I turned it off. You know what I'm saying? And if this is such a big money grab, and this is such a, look at me type of event, the fact that you had piss poor, outmatch, outclass, on the field, it sucks for the league. So it kind of throws a middle finger on your product, and you don't want that in the first place.
Villain, give me 10 more seconds.
10. I'm counting it down.
Last year we had two playoff games that were both one-sided in the semifinals. And I feel like there will be some Cinderella stories, but with 12 teams, out of 11 games, you're going to have years where you're going to see 7 or 8 blowouts, just so you know, just so we're all aware.
No, that's a fact. That's a fact. TP, how do you think they will bounce? How do you think they're going to lay out this playoff system? Like, obviously, I think it'll spill into January a little bit. They might start mid to late December, and then they'll probably have a couple buys. How do you think they'll do it? Do you think they'll do four buys? Top four teams get a buy, then eight to four teams.
You got to think if it's 12 teams, it's 6 games that's going to be played right there. They don't have enough time to go 6-3, and then what? 6? That's how it will go, right? It's something like that, or the top two teams will get
four
a bye, I'm thinking, and then it will go
I thought he said TV. I know
that a lot of people want to try and be timeless. Is that right, though? But, from what I was asked, I think that it'll be two teams that get to buy, and then they go 4-2-1. It's going to be something like that. But, I'm thinking, just like you said, mid-December and then run to February, how the Super Bowl would. And it'll probably be that Saturday right before the Super Bowl to keep everything hype, all out football for that weekend. That's what I would think would have to happen. They can't run college football into March Madness. They can't do that. So, I think they have to give college basketball its little leeway of February and then the conference championships and then boom, the big dance. So I think if the only way they could do it is if they started somewhere mid to late December, let that run through the whole January, get all the money that they want to get back from all the NIL money they done lost, and then build up that national championship right before the Super Bowl.
I actually like the idea too. So you got to get four by, and then eight teams play at least four. That gives you eight. So then your second round gives you eight more teams playing, and then you have the semifinals and finals. I like TP's idea of the week before the Super Bowl. The other possibility that I was thinking was in that off week between the conference championship games and the Super Bowl. So if you ran like your first round of games, say third weekend of December before the holiday, and then you came back with your quarterfinals right around New Year's Day, right around that time with the bowl games, and then you came back with your semifinals around like the 11th or so, kind of when they're playing the championship game right now. And then you came back a couple weeks later, and like I said, maybe you hit your title game. I like your idea of the Saturday of the Super Bowl, but I also like the idea of maybe doing it in that off week between the division championship games and the Super Bowl, and having college football have its one last hurrah, or its, you know, the stage is on it for that weekend, and then we get on to the Super Bowl the following week.
I mean, the more football, the better. I kind of feel like it's going to be 14 by 8, then the 8 teams play, the two winners face the two byes, and then boom, boom, boom. So that would be 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks, I think, right? That would be about a month. So,
yeah, so you have four games.
Might be able to, yeah, but, I mean, it'll be 4 weeks of games. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
The first round,
four, two, then one.
The bye weeks.
Yep.
4-4, 2-1. It'll be, I mean, I'm not hating on that. I think they can figure it out. But TP's right. They don't want to run it too long because you can't compete with NFL playoffs. Now, NFL, they extended it. They have that extra, you know, week for the regular season. So they have a little wiggle room. I don't know how it would look to have college playoff on top of NFL playoffs. I mean, look, the NFL playoffs were amazing last year. So, even the first round game. So it'll be tough to run up against that. What you got?
You could almost play the semifinals on the Saturday of the division championship games, and then come back on either Saturday or the following Monday night right before the Super Bowl and do the title game.
Which
because
probably
when you
down.
Get to the last weekend of the playoffs, when you get down to the weekend of the in title games, then those two games are on Sunday. There's no Saturday football in the NFL. You see what I'm saying? So you could almost have your semifinals that weekend.
It'll be interesting. I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. Very interesting to see how they do it. But, yeah. Unless anybody has anything to double-click on college football, we can move away from that. We got NFL about to get popping off. I definitely want to get into the season, but I want to talk about tomorrow's game, the kickoff game, the Bills versus the Rams, the defending champs getting their moment in the sun, their customary opening Thursday game. It's pretty much a tradition, a great night of football. The Rams hosting the Buffalo Bills, who everybody and their mother thinks is a serious, serious contender to get to the Super Bowl. I think they are too. So Rams are home, but they're home dogs. The Buffalo Bills are favored 2.5 in that game. TP Timeless, Rams and Bills, what are you expecting from this opening game?
I really think that the Bills should win this game. I'm really worried about how they're making it a big thing about Stafford's elbow. You know, they're worried about if it's going to bother him. I think this is just something to give him, like, leeway going into the season, especially while Odell isn't around early portion of the season, because he didn't leave the Super Bowl injured. His arm wasn't a factor then. He was, you know, doing his celebrating during the Super Bowl parade or whatever. So I don't know what it is. Is it old age? Is it, you know, tendonitis? I don't know. But they're giving it some type of storyline while he'll get the, you know, his championship ring and the banner put up, so on and so forth. But I think that the way that the Bills left the field last year, that has to be one sour taste of how things went down with 13 seconds on the clock in the fourth quarter and still be able to get tied up, go into overtime and lose as soon as the coin gets tossed. So I think the Bills are on a revenge tour and is going to have to start up against the defending champs in Los Angeles, California.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Sirius, Bills, Rams, opening the season tomorrow. What do you got?
You know, it's crazy because at the end of the day, I think that if these two teams met again in this upcoming Super Bowl, it wouldn't shock anybody. I think that a lot of people are picking the Bills to represent the AFC. I, for one, again, I'm going on record to say I don't believe that. However, this Bills team, like Pete alluded to, is on a mission. They've watched, you know, their season come to an end in historic fashion two consecutive years in a row. You know, they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs 2 years ago in the AFC Championship game. And, you know, you see the pictures of Stephon Diggs, you know, just chilling, watching them celebrate and watching the confetti fall. And he said that he wanted to take that into the following season. So the following season, they go up against the Kansas City Chiefs again in the division round, and we all know what took place. You know, I don't want to say the curse of the Buffalo Bills is starting to rear its ugly head. But, you know, this is a team that is poised to get it done. You know, what better way than to announce your arrival than to go into the defending champion's nest and pop them on the head. I'm not sure if we're picking a win or anything just yet, but it's going to be a hell of a game. On the flip side, there's a lot of question marks, in my opinion, surrounding the L.A. Rams, all of which are brought on by the Los Angeles Rams. You know, Sean McVay doesn't really play his starters or anything like that during preseason. You know, we're talking about a split time share in the backfield between Cam Akers and Henderson, so you really don't have any type of traction and or clarity as to the division of labor there. Obviously, Cooper Kupp is as good as advertised, but you bring in Allen Robinson from the Chicago Bears, and you want to sit there and, you know, potentially hope and pray that he can kind of morph into that Robert Woods role or that wide receiver two role that is vacant there. You don't really have too much of a slot guy to speak of, if you will. You know, Odell hasn't re-signed yet. There's still no indication that he's going to re-sign there. You lose Von Miller on defense. Aaron Donald, fresh with retirement, decides to come back. Jalen Ramsey is a year older out there. And the questions surrounding the L.A. Rams, of which I don't think very many of them will get answered. And notice how I didn't even bring up Matthew Stafford's elbow. Take it from a Stella fan. When that elbow goes, it's time for you to consider hanging him up. So I'm not trying to push Matthew Stafford into retirement just yet, but I will say this, that's something that definitely needs to be monitored and looked at. And all of us here play fantasy football, and the ramifications associated with Matthew Stafford's arm is going to be felt by us all, whether it's Cooper Kupp, whether it's Higbee, whether you picked up Allen Robinson, whether they're going to be able to stack the box against your running back. So that's Cam Akers and Henderson. Hell, even if you got the Rams defense, man, they're going to get tired and give up, you know, bombs over Baghdad. So it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem, man. But, hell, football is back. Football is back, man. I can't wait to talk about it and break it down some more with you guys now.
Yeah, we're back. I'm loving it, man. It's going to be a fun game. Mr. Harvey, what do you got? Bills, Rams, you know, talk to me about this opening game, the kickoff, inaugural kickoff game for the season. Are you there?
I think that this is probably a game for the Bills. I mean, I think ring night, distractions, all the other stuff going on with the Rams. I just think this is you got a pretty good team walking in that door, lining up on the other side of the field from you if you're The Rams tomorrow night. So I feel like this is set up for the Bills to, as TP said, start their sort of revenge tour. You know, I think there's a lot of expectations on the Bills this year. But I think that this Bills team, with the fact that they've been able to sort of slay the giant in Belichick last year in the playoffs and then get to where they got, like, this is not a team that's unaccustomed to pressure moments now. So, listen, I think it's a little surprising to see, you know, the Super Bowl champs, underdogs, on their home field on ring night. It tells you something about the team that they're playing. I wouldn't bet this, you know, with it being less than a field goal. It's, you know, obviously not much, but it is enough to make the home team and defending champions the dogs in this game. So I feel like the Bills are going to win. I expect a close competitive football game though.
Yeah, I mean, who do you got winning? Who you got winning, Mike? Seriously, who you got winning? Close game? Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna be I'm gonna go with the dog. I think that although I said a lot, you know, a blessing on Buffalo and a lot of negativity towards LA, I think they find a way to equal it out, man. I think it's gonna be a close one. I think they find a way to equal it out.
Yeah. TP Timeless, just the Timeless, the hero. Who do you got tonight, tomorrow night? Bills or Rams?
Who's the dogs?
The Rams. They're laying
the
two.
Rams.
They're,
the Rams
are
2-point dogs.
Yeah. Yeah, the Bills are laying 2.5.
Well, he said he's going with the Rams. This would be funny. He's hilarious. I'm going with the Bills, man. I feel like the Bills are going to bring it in. Plus, I hate to use, like, sympathy and motivation, but Dawson Knox just lost his brother, man. And he just got the extension today. So, like, that's some motivation that they gave him a 4-year extension over 50-plus, and just lost his brother a few weeks ago in, like, a wreck or something like that. I think that's how his brother passed. I really feel like they're going to come out with guns a-blazing. And with what you just said, Barry, with Emmanuel Sanders retiring, they got a point to prove with that offense losing a piece, but Emmanuel Sanders wasn't as big as he was in the past year or two. But still, they have to fill the void of him leaving. And with the running back core that they have, they got to show some type of promise instead of letting Josh Allen run the ball and be the leading rusher in the league. So they got to get stuff done and show that they can do it. Otherwise, it's just going to be like all for naught. They're going to win the AFC East and then just keep falling short. The Bills will stand true to the way that people idolize the first 5 letters of their, you know, their reference being, boy, I love losing Super Bowls, or just, boy, I love losing games or something. I don't know what it would be, but they got to pull this off up against a Rams team, I think, that might have a hangover. So I think the Bills get it done.
I mean, they have the whole summer to have a hangover. They better snap out of it. I like the Rams in this game just because they are home. They're getting the rings. You know, the crowd's going to be, you know, energized and everything. But so I think the Bills will start 0-1, but I think the Bills are going to roll after that, baby. Like, they did have the statistically the best defense last year, even though it didn't look like it in the playoff game against the Chiefs. You know, getting Elam at corner, he's already a starter. He looks really good. Adding Von Miller, that defense looks like they're capable. The offense, obviously, with Josh Allen, but I just think the juice in the building is going to carry the Rams to a close game. I agree with you guys. I think it's going to be a close game. But, you know, Donald and Ramsey and those boys are going to do their thing. But I think the Rams need to, you know, they need to shore up some things. You know, they're waiting for Odell to get healthy before they sign him. So, hopefully he comes back and he's ready because he looked really good in that Super Bowl before he got hurt. Matt Stafford's elbow, like you said, serious. It's touchy. You know, that's not something to sneeze at, an elbow. He's used to playing with pain, as TP knows, but he's not getting younger. He's only getting older. So, you know, we'll see how it affects his play. But, hey, listen, getting those rings, getting those big blings. I think the rings get bigger and bigger. I think they're going to have to use two fingers to get these rings on people's hands now. Like, these rings are getting ridiculous. They're like championship belts that they're putting on their finger now. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean? Woo! I got to get my nature boy in there. Like, you know, I spent more money and spilled liquor than you made your whole year. No, sorry. But the juice is going to be in the building. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. So, you know, like I said, call number 929-477-2759. The chef's in the building. Call us, cookout, TP Timeless, the villain, Mr. Harvey, Aaron, Sirius Simmons, talking some football. You know, we got to get into the season as we approach opening night and then the opening weekend, some nice slate of games. We'll probably, TP will probably break the games down in detail Sunday on the Sunday buffet, Timeless Buffet, 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, shameless plug. All shows sponsored by PHI Apparel. Get to their website, phiapparel.co, and buy some Philly gear, friends of the program. But, I mean, TP, I don't know where you want to take it with the season. You want to, you know, do you want to do, like, who do you think is going to win some awards? Do you want to just talk headlines? Like, there's headlines galore. Dallas not looking like Dallas signing 40-year-old tackles to their practice squad, trying to keep Dak upright. You know, the Eagles with a lot of talent, the 49ers going with the rookie quarterback or the second-year quarterback, but bringing back their quarterback. So many stories, headlines, or do you want to do some awards, however you want to take it, my brother?
Well, what kind of awards are you referring to? Like, you better watch what you do with karma. Don't laugh because your Giants ain't in the best of shape either. Like, if Tyrod was healthy, man, I don't know if Danny Jones would be starting. And y'all receiver depth, y'all went and got a Detroit Lion receiver that got cut in Pimpleton, and he made the team after getting cut. And watching Hard Knocks, he was dropping passes in camp in New York or Jersey, and they still picked him up. So you better watch it. You better leave Karma alone. You better leave her alone.
We're already suffering because we got your leftover receiver in Galladay.
Both of them. You got Galladay too. You got Galladay too. Welcome to Detroit.
Exactly.
Welcome to Detroit. You want both of them? You got them.
Yeah.
Anybody else you want?
No, please. Give me St. Brown.
No. You go too far. You go get your own groceries at the store. You go get your own groceries. No, you leave our produce alone. That's what you do. You leave our produce alone.
I was just asking.
I mean, it was a valiant try. You know, you give a valiant effort. You know, I can't fault you for that. You know, at least you try. Not too much. I mean, Russell Wilson getting damn near $250 million, and he got more money than Aaron Rodgers. I think he's done more in this league than Aaron Rodgers. Man, that's an interesting thing, man. And when did Aaron Rodgers get to a Super Bowl? And a lot of people are talking about the loss of Devontae Adams. Does he hold up the fold while he lost his best and only really receiver all season long? And does he really stand out for the whole 4 years of the $200 million? I mean, those are all withstanding comments and questions, things of that nature, man. And I don't know. I feel like there's going to be a surprise team like the Jags that will probably do better than a lot of people expect. I think the Bears might shock some people too if they could just keep Fields out of harm's way. I think that he might get more wins than a lot of people proclaim, but somebody out of the barbershop said that they think the Seahawks are going to beat the Broncos week one in the, you know, open sesame game, Russell Wilson. So that's something that I'm like, no way, but I could see, you know, Vegas pulling strings, watching everybody put their house on the line for the Broncos too. So this is all interesting news while we are sitting on the eve of football week one.
Let's double click on that because Russell Wilson coming back to Seattle. We touched on it a little bit last night on the
NFL Free For All on Tuesdays at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Shameless plug. Russell coming back to Denver series. Do you think? I mean, I know we talked about it a little bit. We don't have to spend a lot of time on it,
yeah.
But I mean, what do you think about that whole storyline? I think we talked about will he get booed or will he get cheered, but
yeah.
Do you think he's gonna get a win?
Yeah, honestly, I think he gets a win. I don't think it's close. I think that Russell Wilson is really going to show up and look to show out, if you will. I mean, nobody knows that stadium and knows, you know, Pete Carroll like Russell Wilson. It's the funniest kind of irony that, you know, Russell, again, Barry, you mentioned this yesterday, that Russell Wilson's first game in his new season is against his former team. You know, and I honestly think that the Denver Broncos, I said this a couple weeks ago, are my pick to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl, and I think that they go out to Seattle this upcoming week and bombs over, you know, Baghdad, if you will. I think it's going to be points, like, you know, you're going to just like the scoreboard up, if you will. So I just don't think that Seattle has enough talent to stop anything that Nathaniel Hackett puts together. I think the only time that they take a negative yard, in my opinion, is if they kneel down at the end of halftime in a victory formation. I just think that whatever they call and they dial up is going to work. So whomever in the barbershop mentioned that, I need to pop in there and have some words with you because that's funny.
Harvey, I mean, what storyline kind of reaches out to you? There's been so many people talking about Tom Brady taking a break. You know, we got, like I said, the Cowboys. You got the Packers are interesting. Lamar Jackson, which we don't talk a lot about, but that's an interesting storyline that I definitely want to touch on with the chefs. I mean, what storyline is the most interesting to you right now?
I'm really interested to see the Chiefs now that they don't have Tariq Hill anymore and what that team looks like. I talked about Cincinnati trying to repeat. That's interesting to me. The whole shakeup in Miami. And so I'm really watching those two Alabama quarterbacks, one by way of Oklahoma as his last stop. But I'm watching Tua and Jalen to see what kind of improvement we see out of those guys this year to see if they take another step. And I'm curious to see what happens with this Tennessee Titans team, because if Henry doesn't stay healthy, it could be a very, very long season in the Music City. We've all finished our fantasy leagues and everything else, so just a couple of sleeper names out there. For Denver, KJ Hamler, is a really under-the-radar guy who could make some noise in the slot for them. And
hey, yo, what school did he go to? What school did he go to?
He went to Penn State, thank you. And if Aaron Rodgers is going to put up decent numbers, there's a couple of guys that are going undrafted that are kind of falling below the radar. Christian Watson's one of them. He's still got a little time to get back healthy, but he's 6'4", 6'5", run to 4'4", 40. And Romeo Dubs, who's another guy who's been really impressing people with his work in the preseason, too. Those are two guys that are going to have to burst on the scene in the wide receiver core in Green Bay, because I don't think Alan Lazard is that guy, no matter how much they want to make him that. So we'll see. And I'm very, very curious to see the Lions this year. I love Dan Campbell. I loved him when he was in New Orleans. It's hard to watch Hard Knocks without really loving the guy even more. We're ready to run through a wall for him. And then, you know, he got one of my LSU guys as a linebackers coach, which I like. So I'm really curious to see the Lions this year and what their season looks like.
Yeah, I mean, Hard Knocks does a great job of really hyping the team that's on there, even though usually they're not one of the upper echelon teams per se. They're usually a solid team, but, you know, on the come or something like that. But it makes you want to really be invested in that team and like the Lions. So I think, you know, Campbell
you know, a lot of question marks last year, but I think watching him really came off really well, really, you know, motivating, and I just liked the program they have. I love Deuce. I really do. I would play for that guy in a heartbeat. He's energy personified. I love watching him. So good staff that they got there. TP, I got to come to you. You can talk lines if you want, but I got to ask you two questions about the man, Lamar Jackson. Should he be playing without signing an extension this year? Should he play without that extension? And, I mean, as far as, yeah, I mean, how much should he get? Should he get the Deshaun Watson fully guaranteed, or is he a step away? Like, what should he get? And should he be playing without getting that money?
If the market is set with everybody getting $200 million, we haven't seen Deshaun play football in over a year. He got $231 million. This season he's supposed to get $1 million. The rest of that $230 million is behind it. You watch Russell Wilson get $245 million, and Russ is on the downside of his career. Not saying that he's bad. I'm not saying Russell Wilson is bad, but we've seen the brighter days while he was in Washington, and in Colorado he's going to have to answer the bell while he's there. Lamar is younger than both of these quarterbacks, being Deshaun and Russell Wilson. And who said black quarterbacks can't play football? He's younger than Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers got a $200 million contract or extension with nobody there. They got rid of Devontae Adams. Everybody else there, I think the young talent that they really have there is in their secondary, and A.J. or Aaron Jones, if you don't know who A.J. is. Other than that, that's why they could take the opportunity to dump that money into Aaron Rodgers. So we look at Lamar. He's younger than them. He has an MVP also, and there's nobody in Baltimore other than Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews is the only other stud in the state of Maryland wearing black and purple. So if they're handing out this type of money to these stud quarterbacks, and let's just say the first two that I mentioned, they're good, they're studs, they have not gotten an MVP, and this one does, they better hit Lamar off. I don't know if it's smart if he sits out, because then he'll have those questions if he's in game shape, and if he comes back in, he's going to be weary of not getting injured, so on and so forth, and playing ginger. And when you play ginger, that only gets you hurt. So I think it is good for him to play, but I feel bad for him, because if he gets injured, it's kind of like what the doggone Seahawks did to every one of their talented, awesome players, from Earl Thomas to Russell Wilson, Marshawn Lynch. They didn't want to give these guys money. They ended up either leaving on their own will or getting sold down the river. So I feel bad for Lamar at this point in time, but, yeah, it wouldn't be right to watch the Ravens play without him, and he's healthy. So I just want him to be – you know, no injuries. I just want him to play ball and prove them wrong, like come up with another season that's above 500 or better, because he's been getting double-digit wins. I think last year was the one time that they had under double-digit wins while he was there, and he was injured. So they better appreciate what they got, because Janet Jackson made a song, "You don't know what you got till it's gone."
Shout out to Jay Dilla, rest in peace. I don't compare Russell Wilson's contract to anybody else's. Like, I don't think, because he didn't get all of his contract guaranteed, that they should use that as a barometer. He's an older quarterback coming off of injuries. So there's no way that I would fully guarantee his contract. If you're going to look at a barometer, I say Deshaun Watson is an outlier. The Browns are stupid, all right? They should have never guaranteed him fully guaranteed that contract. That's ridiculous. Nobody should. No, absolutely not. Like, there's guys that you fully guarantee, and Deshaun Watson, no offense to him or anything that happened, he's not that caliber player, in my opinion. Like, there's quarterbacks I would fully guarantee over him. But if you're telling me he doesn't at least get over Kyler Murray money, like, Kyler Murray got $189 million guaranteed, and he's making about $46 million this year, that's the range, a step higher than that. That's where he needs to be. he needs to be in that at least 49 a year, like Russell Wilson, but fully guaranteed, no, but he should definitely get more than Kyler because he has an MVP trophy, hands down. So, serious, I mean, what do you think about Lamar Jackson? I mean, representing himself, yeah, doesn't have an agent, you know, looking for that fully guaranteed money. The Ravens not really trying to give him fully guaranteed, but we want to pay him handsomely. Should he be playing this year without that contract? Should he gamble on himself physically and on, you know, on the field as far as, you know, upping his price?
I don't think he should gamble on himself like that. Like, I mean, obviously, you know, hold out and get as much money as you need to get. But here's the thing. In order for you and the Ravens to be successful, you have to play a certain type of way. All right? You didn't bring in anybody like T.P. alluded to for you to throw the ball to. So your offense is read option, put myself in harm's way, and pray and hope that I hold up. They didn't make any additions or any – they didn't add anybody to their offensive line significant of note. You really bring in nobody getting receiver-wise. So if I'm Lamar Jackson, okay, I mean, I understand he's representing himself. He got his moms, you know, talking, you know, whatever the case may be. I don't understand how you look at how you've been playing since you've been in the league and say, this is smart business. At the end of the day, it's business. Like, you want to protect yourself. You want to put money and more money in your family's hands and your mom's hands and your friend's hands. This is not smart business because you know the money is there. It's not like the Baltimore Ravens don't got the bread. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not too sure why DaCosta and Harbaugh and these guys aren't giving this man what market value is. We're not asking you to break the effing bank. I don't think he's asking for that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen, you know, him go back and forth on Twitter, and I'm here in the metro, so I hear it regularly. I can go up the street and pick up a paper and read it, or, you know what I'm saying? So I'm sitting right here. You know what I'm saying? So ultimately, he doesn't want to set records with his contract. He just wants what is fair and what his market dictates. You know what I'm saying? So and I think for a player, for an athlete of his caliber, you know, I think he deserves that and demands that. Especially, again, me and TP have gone ring around the rosies about, you know, Lamar Jackson, the quarterback. But at the end of the day, we've all agreed on one thing. He doesn't have a lot of help. And what he has been able to accomplish in this league, I tip my cap to him, you know, as being one hell of an athlete. So, yeah, it's dumb for him to not get his bread. It's dumb for him to gamble on himself in this manner. Like, I guess essentially quarterbacks that have gambled. But if you look at other quarterbacks that have gambled, the track record isn't too well. Just look back to what happened with Dak Prescott. Now, he eventually did get his money, but he ended up getting hurt that season. You know, we all remember the picture of him in New York, you know, playing the Giants, crying as he got rolled off. Kirk Cousins, another one, out here in Washington, franchise tag after franchise tag, didn't get his deal. You know what I'm saying? He ended up having to leave and go to Minnesota and got his deal. You know what I'm saying? Again, Baltimore is playing a really, really bad game of Russian roulette, and you just hope that it comes up right for you, because at the end of the day, if I'm Lamar Jackson, I'm not playing.
I mean, quarterback position just is inflation, and it changes every year. A dollar today is $1.50 tomorrow, and $1.50 tomorrow is $2 the next day. Like, they should be trying to pay him now, because we all thought that Kirk Cousins deal was, what, 90-something million guaranteed? Was an insane deal when he got it in free agency from the Vikings. Now he's barely top 10 paid player in the league, $35 million a year. That's a bargain. That's a bargain right now. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I agree with you. He shouldn't get – Lamar Jackson shouldn't gamble physically with, you know, risking injury like Dak did, because Dak didn't get his money yet. It wasn't like he was gambling. He was going to get paid, but there was a good chance he wasn't going to get paid after rolling his ankle and, you know, everything that was going down. But I'm looking at Lamar Jackson. You shouldn't gamble physically, but I think he's gambling the fact that you don't pay me $1 today, you're going to pay me $2 tomorrow. Next year, the market's just going up. You're going to pay, and he's going to get more money out of him if he doesn't get it this year. That's what I think he's gambling on. But to your point, I mean, physically, I just wouldn't do it. But you're right, guys. Every reason to pay this guy. He carries your franchise. He's the face of your franchise. He's got an MVP trophy, and he has done nothing to embarrass you. Nothing. Those three reasons right there is why you come to the table and pay him his money. Mike, what do you think about Deshaun Watson? I mean, not Deshaun, I mean Lamar Jackson. Should he? I'm literally looking at his name while I'm reading something online. Lamar Jackson, should he play this year with the contract not secure? Like, what do you think?
I mean, I think, honestly, I wish he would have, since he's negotiating for himself, I wish he'd have done more to sort of force their hand and say, I don't know, like, listen, guys, like, I need the contract passed this year. You know, they still think they're going to get something done. Both sides, I just read this week, feel like they're optimistic about it, but Lamar says he doesn't want to negotiate during the season. I think by this point, you almost have to. Going this far down the road and being this close to the regular season, I don't know what was said behind closed doors or whatever else. If he just felt like in a good faith, but at the end of the day, this is a business, and at the end of the day, you do have to do what's best for you. I agree with TP's point. If you're holding out, you come back midway through the season, there's going to be all kinds of, is he in game shape? Is he this? Is he that? Is he not? And whatever. And so then, they might try to use those as excuses not to pay him moving forward. But I just wonder if he should have been a little bit more hard and said, I'll be at camp. I'm going to do everything through the preseasons and everything else. But if you want me under center in week one, I should have a contract before this season starts. Instead of saying, I don't want to negotiate during the season, he should have said, this is the deadline to get this done.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, me, I'm not playing. You know, I think he's doing it to prove a point. He's a team first guy, and, you know, he wants to win. But, I mean, like Siri said, football, you know, on the field is one thing, but business is business. You know, this, like people said, this is generational wealth that can change your family for years to come. It's hard to risk that. But you know what? Like I said, if that all goes according to plan, they're gonna pay anyway. They're gonna pay a hefty amount next year if they don't pay him right now. Pay him $49 million this year, because next year it might be 60. it might be 60 a year.
Well, see,
that's the thing
that I don't think Baltimore understands, and I think they should. Like, the TV deals is gonna go up next year.
Yeah.
Like, the price of business is going to go up. So if you thought that you were going to get Lamar Jackson or anybody else at a discount, you need to put pen to paper now, because next year when he starts realizing, yo, instead of making, let's say 60, you know, 600, whatever number is this year, that's average, I can make, $40,000 a year, next year, based off of inflation. And, like, at the end of the day, this is straight business. This is money. You know what I'm saying? We live in 2022 where inflation is not, missing the NFL. Like, they're wrapped up in this joint just as much as you and I are at the gas pump and everything else we got to deal with on a day-to-day basis. So at the end of the day, right, I don't understand why they just don't understand the sense of urgency. I'm going to say this, and again, Greenwood mentioned it. I laughed at him. but I can see a legitimate point where they move on from Lamar Jackson. It's dumb.
I mean,
stupid, but at the end of the day, you gotta look at it like this. There has to be some logical reason as to why the Baltimore Ravens have not given this man exactly what he's asked for. He's not a malcontent. You don't hear about him, you know, at stadiums throwing dollar bills, you know, on ladies. You don't see him, you know, in the papers, you know, acting a fool. All this dude does is go home, play football, you know, and that's it. That's all he does. You know what I'm saying? So, and he does it at a decent level to the point where the Ravens are relevant. We saw Greenwood's pick. He picked the damn Ravens to win the division. You know what I'm saying? And most circles, I didn't mention this yesterday, but in most circles, the Ravens are picked to win 10.5, 11 games. That's not because some bomb-ass receiver out there catching the football. That's not because they got some, you know, great defensive scheme. That's because of one Lamar Jackson. And, again, it pains me to say that because I hate the dude. I don't think he's a decent quarterback. But at the end of the day, he is Baltimore. That's the equivalent of me trying to say, you know what, F. Ray Lewis, he wasn't a good football player. Oh, Ray Lewis was not Baltimore. You know how quick I get shot for saying some stuff like that and actually meaning it? Come on now, man. They're doing that man dirty, and again, they're going to miss him when he's gone. They better pay that man or he's going to be gone, and you're going to be saying, woe is me. It's not like these quarterbacks grow on trees. I was saying this a couple years ago when I was talking about Big Ben. It's not like starting caliber quarterbacks are easily found, easily groomed, easily, you know, you can't find this. Lamar Jackson came out of Louisville ready to roll, and this brother just rolled. You better give that man a check.
Cut the check. I mean, look, Apple is going to pay a boatload of money to get Sunday ticket. That's going to – everybody's going to eat off that. That deal alone. Digital money is real. All the TV contracts and everything, but you know, I might get Apple TV just to get the chance to get Sunday ticket. A lot of people will think that way. Apple TV is one of the lower tier streaming services out there. They get the NFL package. Everybody's going to flock to it. So, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that they would pay, you know, have to pay $60 million a year for this guy. And like, even the Giants, like, I would never give Daniel Jones an extension coming into this year. I would have let him play his last year and prove it year. But what happens if the Giants have a quarterback if he has a good year? Then you got to pay him. They might have to pay him top market dollar. That's a good problem to have, but that's a problem to have, like, because of the next year up. So we'll see. I don't want him to play. I'd rather him, you know, get his money, but – you know what? At the end of the day, he's going to do it. He's going to do what he thinks is right. I just think he should have an agent. I honestly think he should have got an agent to settle this and so he can focus on everything else. But, Darius, I'll come right back to you. Trubisky's your quarterback. How are you feeling?
Honestly, I feel pretty good about it. You know, all jokes aside, I really felt as though when we acquired Mitch Trubisky, that he would be a leader in the clubhouse to win the starting job. Going into off-season training and everything I was reading and seeing, I felt as though he was capable of doing the job. Then I actually went down to training camp. Me and my dad sat there on the sidelines and watched all three quarterbacks prepare and throw and go through simulated 7-on-7 stuff, 2-minute drill, you know, 7 shots, you know, from the goal line. They worked the ball down the field and things of that nature. So I was able to sit there and put eyes on the situation. And Mitchell Trubisky looked really, really well. Now, granted, this was all against, you know, teams and shorts and T-shirts and helmets. But at the end of the day, you know, from the neck up, he seemed to have a great command of the offense. And I'm very, 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 very curious to see how my team responds. No shot, and no disrespect to Big Ben, because, again, future Hall of Famer, this, that, and the third, but our offense was very, 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 very manila, because we couldn't really maneuver the football down the field and change launch points like I really felt as though we're going to need to do, especially with how pitiful my offensive line has looked this preseason. So I like the fact that Mitchell's the guy. I also like the fact that Kenny Pickett is number two. I got into a very heated conversation with my family members about it because due to the clerical error, I thought that Mason Rudolph was the number two quarterback, and it annoyed me because I don't want him anywhere near the position of getting into a lineup during the regular season. So I like the fact that Kenny, once again, I've seen him take tremendous steps forward in his development from the collegiate side of things to the professional side of things. Nothing that I have seen tends to faze this man. You know, yeah, you're a college guy, but at the end of the day, this is football, and you've seen the step inside of stadiums, both on the road and at home, and play acceptable football. He was able to distribute the ball quite well. He was able to, you know, again, command his offense, lead his troops, take coaching, give coaching. I saw a certain level of spunk and a certain level of fire that I saw when we drafted this dude from Miami of Ohio that you know, turned out to be kind of good for us for some time. So I'm not comparing him to that guy, but at the end of the day, I do like the fact that Mitchell Trubisky goes into the year as my number one quarterback, and that the chips fall with their name, man. It's going to be a fun ride, and I'm definitely – front row, hands up, going wee down this roller coaster, man. It's going to be fun.
We'll see. It should be interesting. Harvey, what do you think about your Saints this year? You got Winston. Everybody think – I saw one columnist said they might win the one seed. One seed this year. What do you think? Cautious optimism?
I think that's a little ambitious. I do like the roster – from top to bottom, I think this is a very talented roster. I got to see what happens with Marcus May and how we replace him in the defensive backfield. Still a little bit of growth on the offensive line when you lose your anchor left tackle. Still some figuring out to see kind of how that looks. But I think if, you know, the key with Jameis is not to throw a ton of interceptions. If he can finish, say, 30-10 or something like that, I'd be happy. He did finish with 16-4, I think, in his abbreviated time last year. So if he can have a 3-1 or 4-1 ratio of interceptions to touchdown passes, I think we'll be fine. I think their defense is solid. I think they're going to be good. I think they could possibly win the South. You know, I said that last night in bold predictions. I'm taking Tampa, but don't sleep on the Saints team, man. There's a lot of talent on it.
We'll see. I just got Winston as my backup quarterback. So I got Brady as the starter and Winston as my backup. So I think good things. I think good things out of it. TP, the D, Detroit. What do you think, man? I think they might surprise some people this year, TP. What do you think, bro?
There's a song from the 70s, right? Came out of, you know, the Midwest, you know, Motown, you know. And the hook, they say people don't like money. Don't let money change you. The almighty dollar, because people keep on changing up their mind. Don't let money change you. For the love of money, people will steal from their brother. Okay. I want you to know.
You already know OJ. OJ.
Okay. Oh, so you just Googled that. Okay, no problem. So, but as long as you people are listening.
Oh, stop.
You
I
know
grew up
saying?
On that album. Ships
no,
of
you,
Ahoy.
You didn't grow up on that stuff. You don't know nothing.
What are you talking about?
Nothing,
Ships
nothing.
Ahoy.
You don't know nothing.
Don't start.
You don't know
start.
Nothing. I'm
Leave
the Motown
hurt.
Guy
don't
in here. I'm the Motown guy in here, okay?
Don't do that. Don't
all right,
that.
Just so you know, don't let money change you, man. And right now we can't let that money change us, man. This is all young talent, so ain't nobody really get, you know, big money, man. I like that Hard Knock set up this season just right. The money's all in the lap of Jared Goff right now. He got to go out there and earn his keep, especially with a whole bunch of weapons around him. They got so many weapons around him, they were cutting weapons that deserved to make the team. Like, so they are trying to flood him. The offensive line is top three in the league. We just lost the guard and Big V, but, I mean, the backup should be able to do his part. I'm not going to put so much, be like, yeah, he's going to fit in and plug just like, you know, how it's supposed to be, but I know he's probably going to have some mess-ups here and there, but I feel like with what they had, I mean, it shouldn't be that far off of what we're supposed to be able to do. So I don't want to hear it. Oh, they're going to do this, that, and the third. Like, I think they're going to have a better season. I think they have the weapons to get it done. It all relies on what Goff has. And I'm mad that they won't get a backup quarterback that's quality, like a name, like Cam Newton or something. Just go get somebody to be the backup. They went and got Nate Sudfeld and cut both quarterbacks that were backing them up. It's like, don't peg us on the wrong foot. So right now, not too much junk I want to talk about Detroit, because I feel like they got something special this season. Not just like, oh, they're going to have more wins than they had last year. They really got all cylinders, including, you know, the 1-2 tandem of Jamal and Swift. If these two can put it together, this could be a very interesting team. So we'll see around December, man. See how it looks at the end of the season, if they could be a playoff team or not, man. I don't want to hear no 7 or 6 wins. They got a better cavalry than what people are thinking.
I think they'll be over. I think whether it's 6.5, 7.5, I think they're still, I take the over on them. I like what I saw. I think they got enough talent. Giants, best quarterback is sitting on the bench right now. Tyrod Taylor will be starting by mid-November. That's my gut. Giants probably will get to 7 wins. I picked the under 7.5. I think they'll be right at 7 wins. Daniel Jones, this will be his last year. Saquon will have a really good season. In spite of that, Daniel Jones do more of the same, turning over the football. You know, one read quarterback, one trick pony. And it's really about those two rookies, man. Thibodeau, if he comes back healthy, looks like he's going to practice soon, and then he'll be ready to go. Neal is a beast. I love those two picks, but they got more to do. They got more to build. So we'll see how it goes. Harvey, thanks for calling in. Give us a quick plug, shout as we get out of here on another edition of The Cookout.
Man, shout out to the homie Big Timeless, man. Without TP and my little brother, I wouldn't be here with you guys, man. Much respect to the rest of the chefs. You know what it is. Check out all of our shows. Check out the website, sportscitychefs.com. We got the blogs. We got the websites. We got everything coming out. Some finger foods, all kinds of articles previewing the season. We got the Tuesday night football show. We got the Wednesday night Callers Cafe, Sunday morning, Timeless and myself. With the Timeless Sunday morning brunch, we'll be coming at you at 11 a.m. Eastern time, recapping college football and previewing the Sunday full slate of action, man. And once again, it's always a pleasure, you guys. I look forward to the next time. And as you say, down in Louisiana, bro. Laissez les bons temps rouler. Peace.
Absolutely, man. I went to the laissez les bons temps rouler. You be spitting that, man. You can put a rhyme on that. You know, put a beat on that. I'd do it. But thank you for calling in. Sirius dropped a little bit early, but, you know, I think maybe that Steeler talk got to him. You know, he's probably got to cry himself to sleep because he knows Trubisky is his quarterback. No, I'm kidding. I think Trubisky's going to have a good year. I think he's going to be solid for the Steelers. I think the Steelers will do just what they're supposed to do, get to the playoffs. But, you know, thanks for calling in, everybody. You know, like I said, the Sunday brunch, make sure you listen to that Sunday, 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. NFL Free For All is back full time. 9 o'clock on your Eastern dial. And always we got the Callers Cookout doing some great things there. But, you know, shout out to our sponsor, PHI Apparel. Shout out to Caviar Matt for doing the beat on our open. Always got to plug in, giving us a nice little intro for Sports City that we still rock to this day. A lot of friends of the program. But, you know, listen,
the NFL is here. It's coming, baby. It's a lot of fun. Can't wait for the game tomorrow and your game whenever your teams will be playing. So, TP, you know what to do. Get us out of here, bro.
Talking that mean green.
Green.
He don't know nothing about that. He don't know nothing, y'all. He don't know. Chill out.
He's trying to play somebody. Like, he's like,
he don't know. He don't know nothing, man. Look, he's smiling. You see me smiling. Fort City. I'm nowhere near him, Fort City. He's always interrupting me. Fort City, this is why he's the villain, right? Because he's interrupting me on my outro. Like, he didn't interrupt. Mike got to get out that lab, booze on bone thing and all of that. Sirius get to slide out the back door. I start talking. He want to jump in here, sing songs to me, telling me that he know the song. He done Googled the lyrics. Like, I get it. You know what I'm saying? So, you already know how this go now. He huffing and puffing, Big Bad Wolf.
What's the score of the Yankee game?
Listen, let's stay tuned. You know what I'm saying? We got stuff coming that, you know, definitely. I got somebody trying to talk to me about the college campus tailgate, so that might come back around for this football season.
Please,
college football. So stay tuned for that. It's your Saturday morning kickoff to the bunch will be back this Sunday with everybody getting their predictions in for the game, too. I'm a little nervous because I got one of these players going in this game tomorrow for my fantasy team, so I've already shaking my cage. The NFL season is here. Christmas Eve, basically, for the NFL is right here. We are about an hour and change away from saying Christmas to the NFL season. Stay tuned, everybody. We are in the bird month. All of the sports are probably at a premium, at least of myself. You already know how this go down. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah. Woo! Go! Y'all need to sit back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the vibe. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on tonight. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the ride.